We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you, too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacy and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like an early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Megan, remember this winter when I was all about enlightened ice cream bars and desserts, like their single serve cheesecakes?
How could I forget when I was all about them too?
Well, as much as I still love those, I am declaring it the summer of sundaes, as in ice cream sundaes. This season, I am all about grabbing pints of delicious creamy ice cream so that I can make all kinds of dreamy ice creamy sundaes.
I am so here for this, and there are so many enlightened pint flavors that are perfect for whipping up other ice cream desserts, from homemade ice cream cakes to shakes and floats.
Yes, all of the above. I have been digging into their light ice cream, which comes in classic flavors like vanilla bean and mint chip, as well as impossibly indulgent flavors that pack in loads of mix-ins and swirls, like brownies and cookie dough and caramel fudge pretzel. And you know, they offer a similar range of deliciousness in keto and dairy-free options too.
You know what I'm about to add, Billis. As much as I appreciate options that make it easy for anyone eating any diet to enjoy quality ice cream, I am just here for the taste. And when it comes to pints, scoopability. And Enlightened never, ever disappoints.
I couldn't agree more. And they deliver their feel-good frozen desserts straight to your door. Doesn't get any better than that. The summer of sundaes is on.
Find out more about Enlightened and where to find them in your local grocery store by visiting eenlightened.com/DIJFY. And don't forget to use the code DIJFY10 to get 10% off your order plus free shipping.
We're all freaking done with cooking. We're done.
We're so done.
We're done. So I don't want to be doing anything. Like, I'm happy to entertain because I want to see you. I'm not here to, like, put out an elaborate spread and impress you. Like, I'm done.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You?
A podcast about feeding kids.
Hi, I'm Stacy.
And I'm Megan. Before we get into today's episode, don't forget to subscribe right where you're listening. And if you find yourself with an extra minute, leave us a kind rating or review. Those ratings really help other busy parents and home cooks find us.
Hey, guys, and also, Big news, if you haven't already joined our brand new community, now is the perfect time. And we're offering a limited time sale just this week. Go to didntijustfeedyou.com/community and click to become a supporting member. Then you're going to have two options. You can pay monthly and use the code DIJFY monthly for 30% off your first year, or you can become an annual member and you save $50 that way off the bat. And additionally, use the code DIJFY annual to get an additional 30% off that first year. Big news, big sale, big, amazing place. We can't wait to see you in our community.
Boom, boom, boom. You don't want to miss it. There's so much fun stuff, including exclusive episodes, tips, so much stuff.
I have to tell you, though, real quick, once you join once, you get lifetime access to our private Instagram account, which I like to call my Finsta, which then makes my teenager laugh. Okay, so Finsta, I don't think kids do this anymore, or they don't call it that anymore. I'm like 5 years ago behind.
Okay.
But a Finsta was basically your secret Instagram account. So like you had your forward facing one that's like you're trying to get as many followers as possible. It's the one that you know your parents are looking at. And then you had your other handle that no one knew about that was just like you for real, your close friends. I don't know, probably all the like bad, stupid things you were doing. So I feel like that's our Finsta. It's like, we're not worried about getting followers. We're not worried about sponsors. We're not like, it's what is like, we're not worried about the grid looking beautiful. It's literally us in real time in our kitchens. And I have had so much fun posting to that account. I'm like, this is the way Instagram should be all the time.
Why? Because it's a little bit ugly and a lot of it honest.
Yeah, it's like it's ugly and it's quick. And it's like I feel like we're connecting with people. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, I just made this dinner. It's great. I used this simmer sauce. Blech. Here it is. Like quick. I'm not worried about it looking pretty and trying to like gain followers. It's just like a community of people like sharing what's really happening in their life in that moment. So I think it's
also
fun.
I've shared a couple like product reviews, maybe not all of them glowing, which is I think kind of fun because I don't get to do that on my public account. One thing you might see on our both of our individual Instagrams this summer is summer entertaining. I've already had house guests in the new house.
Nice. How'd it
Brian's go? Sister and his kids and her kids came up. It was good. I mean, they came for one night and we're still like very much in the unpacking thing of it, but it was like, this is everything I love so Yay. Much about having family close by and like the world's opening up again.
I know. I mean, that's so nice that those two things coincided for you, right? Because like seeing family and having people around like that you've known for years was such a big part of returning to the Eastish coast.
Yeah, to the south.
To the south.
And then having family like within driving distance so that we can see them regularly again. But I am really excited to start doing dinner parties again.
Yay!
Are you excited? Okay. I feel like we both love feeding people, but I also know that like not everyone in our listeners group, all of our listeners collectively feels the same way.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be an interesting summer. I feel like people are in a really different place with their sense of what COVID protocols should be. I think, honestly, we should acknowledge that there's a lot of anxiety, too, that, like, you know, you might believe that it's safe to have people over if they're vaccinated or maybe tested. I don't know, you know, but that emotionally actually opening the door and having a bunch of people in your space without masks can just like we can have a visceral, emotional, anxious reaction. I mean, we've all just gone through a collective trauma. You know, not everybody's ready to take that on, especially if they didn't love entertaining in the first place and having people over made them anxious in the first place. So I personally am excited. I think it makes a difference that of my two kids, one is vaccinated, like a majority of my house is vaccinated.
Three-fourths. Yeah.
That's not to say that, you know, the fact that Oliver isn't something that's on our minds. But I imagine if you have a bunch of younger kids who aren't vaccinated, that's a different factor to consider. But we're excited. New York right now has the craziest energy.
I bet.
People are ready. And apparently, like, we're on the cusp of 70% vaccination rate in the city.
That's amazing.
So it's
Bring it on.
And it's a fun time of year because I feel like now everybody's around. A lot of people in New York City disperse.
Right. So many people that I follow who are in New York, like, went to LA or, oh, you're saying for summer. I'm saying for the last year. Like, people are actually coming back to New York, but you're saying people are still leaving for summer.
I think there are a lot of people who leave for summer. A lot of kids going to sleepaway camp. You know, it just gets, like, really hot and intense in New York in the summertime. So, like, right now, there's still a lot of people, like, around and gathering. But even in the thick of summer, there's still plenty of people here. And our parks are always, like, hopping with cookouts. And you're already starting to see that. Like, as soon as you walk into Prospect Park, you can smell the grills going. And I'm here for it. But I do think that there are some, I think we're going to be entertaining differently. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, 100%. And I want to say something, which is, you know, my kids are younger, so they're not eligible for vaccination yet. But I do feel a little bit more comfort in knowing that they're not at school and being exposed in that way every day. Like, we're mostly at home, kind of unpacking right now. So we're not, like, necessarily exposing friends and families to, like, school germs if they do come out to visit. I think that this is me, like, as a food editor making predictions, that we will continue to see people hang out outside as much as possible, which I think is why, like, it's going to be the summer of entertaining at home, or, like, summer of dinner parties, summer of grilling, because everyone wants some social engagement, but maybe it's, like, not super comfortable about going out to restaurants fully maskless and doing all that already. So I think we'll just be, and at least for us personally too, this is true. Like, we have a beautiful patio at our new house and I want to use it. Like, I want to have people over and we can eat outside and make it feel safe and comfortable.
I'm so curious about this. So it's going to be fun to talk about this in our listeners group, because I do think this is a moment in time where there's a lot of discrepancy. New Yorkers tend to entertain outside anyway because we just don't have as much room in our homes. And there's a lot of use of public space, which is great. Right. So that's a pretty, like, natural thing. But then also it does get crazy hot. And so I'm wondering if in the South where you are, I do, like, my sister lives in New Orleans, and there's a point at which they're like, at a pool or you're inside.
Yes.
Like, there's
in August, we will all be inside. Yes.
Right. So, like, at that point, are you going to be going inside and entertaining, or do you not know? Is it, like, cross that bridge when you get to it?
Yeah, I think it's across that bridge. Like I said, we had family come and stay with us. So that was a stretch of our comfort zone. But also we know that family's vaccinated, et cetera. Their kids are older. So I think it'll honestly be, like, a case by case, week by week, month by month basis. But I do feel like you're saying that everyone has that, like, itch and that yearning to, like, be out in the parks again and feel like everything's opened up. So I think right now I'm like, yes, let's eat outside. And then in August we may just, like, not see anyone.
Okay, I have one more question and then we're going to dive into the tips. Have you eaten inside a restaurant yet?
Have I eaten inside of a restaurant? Well, like, on our road trip? Yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely we're doing, like, we are bringing masks with us. Yes, the kids are wearing masks because they're not vaccinated. And when I've eaten inside of a restaurant, we always, like, communicate with the wait staff. Like, would you like us to keep our masks on while we
100%
order? And when you're at the table, we've run into several of the people be like, I'm already vaccinated. I feel comfortable. Our restaurant asks us to wear masks while we're working. Yeah. In Tennessee, it's Target. People are in Target. Unmasked.
No way.
Like, full on. Yeah, there's no mask mandate.
Oh my gosh.
Where we are.
That's so interesting. I just can't imagine seeing everybody's faces like that. I mean, there is a mask mandate in New York, although I've heard that it's going to lift as soon as we reach that 70%. Yeah. But, you know, New Yorkers are hardcore. People still mask everywhere. I went to Wegmans supermarket And they had a sign that said, because it's a business, you know, it's a personal choice at this point. It said vaccinated customers can take off their masks. I just said we're all like at 67%, whatever. Literally every person in there had their mask on.
Yeah.
I was like, people are not messing around. I don't know if it's because like we're also used to being close together. Like even before a pandemic, we're like, you're gross. Like, stay away from me.
Right. Like, I don't need you. New Yorkers were just waiting for an excuse to wear a mask all the time and, like, not have to smile or make interactions with people. But I'm just kidding.
That's not true.
You know, I can say that, like, in jest. I love New York. I also think that, I think I've said this before, I'll probably keep saying it. Like, one of the things I hope is that masks are normalized now. So if you have like the sniffles, but you still need to go out and about, you will just wear a courtesy mask. Like it will not be weird. Oh, it'll be really normal.
Hell yeah. I feel like if someone sneezes more than once, like a rando sneeze on the subway or the bus and doesn't have a mask, everyone's going to be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Totally agree. All right. Let's not keep talking about like COVID. It's going to be present here because obviously it's present on all of our minds. But let's talk about summer entertaining in the context of where we are, right?
Yeah. I also would love to hear just really quickly, like pre-COVID, June, July, your family travels a lot.
Yes.
What kind of summer entertaining would you be doing typically?
So, you know, there's a lot of free concert series around New York City that's like the big thing. There's so many of them, and free outdoor movie stuff, although we don't do the outdoor movie thing so much. But amazing live music in Central Park and in Prospect Park. So a lot of picnicking. And, you know, like kind of, it's interesting this year to see, because I don't know if big gatherings like that are really going to happen in the same way. And also, I wanted to ask you about potlucks, because normally when you picnic, it's like, I'll bring this, you bring that. Da, 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 da. Like, I'm wondering if people are going to feel like there needs to be more of a like consolidation of like who is dealing with the food. Like whether at your house, is there just one person who's serving the food and kind of in charge so that like not everyone is going in and out and like touching the food?
Yeah, and that was like a best practice that was recommended maybe around the holidays last year. I think it was even came from CDC. We'll try to see if we can find it and include it in the show notes. Basically, this idea that if you were going to be gathering, whether it was like a pod or people were starting to be vaccinated, that essentially the person who makes the food should be the person who serves the food onto individual plates for guests so that you are minimizing the exposure. Like if everyone's passing bowls around, potentially then you're just like sharing all those germs.
Yes.
I do wonder, I think, again, this is me like predicting and not really knowing, that we will see like people get really creative with sort of like those individual cheese plate things, or like last summer friends had us over in their backyard masked. It was like our one family friend. I wouldn't say we were potting because we weren't really, but she made like a table of snacky stuff for our family and a table of snacky stuff for her family. So we were like snacking and taking our masks down in like zones. So I wonder if we'll see some of that. Like,
I feel like, I don't know, what I'm seeing here is that when people are unmasking together, they're like all in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
They're like, if I'm going to pull my mask down to eat, I'm just going to pull it down to see you.
And in my experience, I'm just going to say this is, you know, speaking to my context, and I realize that it may be very different for other people. Everybody's vaccinated. Like, everybody knows now. And I don't know anyone who's getting together maskless, even outdoors, with each other when everybody in the group isn't vaccinated. So I don't know. That's just like where we are, and our collective, my community's collective understanding for the most part seems to be that if I'm vaccinated and you're vaccinated, we're generally safe.
Yes. So you're saying, do you think that will bring about more potlucks, like picnicky potlucks?
I do think that, but it's funny because I would not call myself a germaphobe, but I'm definitely like more cautious. Like you see someone double dipping pre-COVID and you're like, no thanks. Mm-hmm. Like I'm done with that dip no matter how delicious it is. Food is something different to me. Like I'll be in a space with you, next to you, maskless. You're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated. We've agreed to this. But like, I don't know that I need my food to come from like four different cooks in four different homes, because I think I might have been a little bit weirded out by that.
Already pre-COVID. And now you kind of like have license.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. I'm like, I'll take care of the food. Or I'll take care of the food for my family. You can take care of your food. Like, bring your own might be a better approach than potluck for me. But maybe COVID is just my excuse to finally be able to say that.
I think this is revealing something really interesting about both of us, too, because I think one of the reasons that I like to host is because I like having control not only over like the germs and exposures and stuff, but like also what we're eating.
Totally.
Yes. So that's really funny. I wonder if we'll just see all the hostess come out and learn all of their weird germ piggy eating preferences.
Totally.
That are hidden by the fact that they're entertaining. So you're doing mostly picnic entertaining.
So picnic, but I'm willing. Like, we have a couple of close families and they're welcome into my house.
Yeah.
Backyard.
What about backyard grilling? Because
totally.
Mike got really into grilling in the last year.
But in other words, like, I don't feel committed to, like, I don't feel like I have to just be outside and grill for safety.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the people who I'm willing to have over to my house, I'm willing to have in my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I do still do this weird thing, which now I'm getting a little off course, but I completely disinfect my bathroom before people come over.
Oh, it's my, like, the rest of the house can be chaos, but the bathroom, I love a quick bathroom clean.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm like on the doorknobs.
Wipe down, sanitize
like
everything.
Like, I normally, I used to do that, but I used to do it for like, just like cleanliness and make sure that, you know, especially with two boys in the house. But now I still have some leftover stuff from the pandemic where light switches and doorknobs, and then I keep the little scent, you know, the wipes there, the Clorox wipes.
I don't know. I think that's kind of what, like, nice. Like, let's keep that as a holdover.
I agree with you. But now are we like crossing over into like admitting our weird germa?
Hello, welcome to this episode of Didn't I Just Feed You? We're going to explore our psychoses around hosting and germs.
So grilling, my birthday is in July.
Yes.
And I was willing to like have a small party. I don't think anyone's going to be around, which is the story of my life when you have a summer birthday. So
right.
I think we may push till the end of August when everyone's back. But like I was ready. But in terms of food stuff, I don't think much is changing from before COVID times. I mean, I would say I do love dips. And I will say that like dips are either off the table or like individually portioned. I still think family style goes. I had another family over recently and I made from a cookbook the chicken shawarma. And we actually did it on the grill instead of in the oven, which was really good. So I did the veggies on a sheet pan and just let them roast in the grill and then threw the chicken on the grill itself. And that was nice. Like that had tzatziki and some dips around, but that was like it was a put your own plate together thing. It wasn't like a dip with chips right there. I love the Grill Dad's idea about sous vide. If that's something you're interested in, you have the tools to do. And then doing that ahead of time and then just finishing on the grill, because then you can do most of your cooking ahead of time. And then like people, oh, you're hungry. You're ready to eat. Cool. Take that piece of meat that's been cooking and just throw it on the grill, finish it off and you're done. It's hardly any cooking when people over, which is really nice because here's the other aspect of summer entertaining. We're all freaking done with cooking. Like we're done.
We're so done.
We're done. So I don't want to be doing anything like I'm happy to entertain because I want to see you. I'm not here to like put out an elaborate spread and impress you. Like I'm done. I think a lot more in that vein, a lot more cooking supermarket shortcuts.
I 100% co-sign that. I've been like waiting to say.
Yeah.
I think it's the summer of shortcut entertaining.
The frozen food section is your friend.
Yes. And also I think if you like the deli or ordering takeout from your favorite restaurant or like basics from your favorite restaurant and then dressing them up a little bit, I do think we're going to see fewer dips and so more sauces.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to be craving like still a lot of flavor and sort of like that experience, that very satisfying experience of like dragging your bread or your whatever, your tortilla through something. And so I think we'll see like people buying rotisserie chickens, but then also either making a sauce or buying a sauce to make like a more of a meal out of components.
Yes, totally.
This summer. Yeah.
Before we dig into more, let's take a quick minute to hear from our sponsors.
Stacey, it's time for us to fess up and admit that we're both kind of obsessed with our hair.
Megan, you're spilling our secrets. But it's true, and kind of with good reason. I'm the daughter of a hairdresser, and you, well, I mean, you have gorgeous hair. I'm obsessed with your hair, too.
Even though I'm low maintenance, I really do take hair health seriously, and I'm always excited to find products that help. So I'm pretty stoked about our latest sponsor, Nutrafol, a 100% drug-free dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement.
I am also thrilled to be trying Nutrafol, especially since my PCOS can cause excessive hair loss, especially during hormonal shifts like postpartum and premenopause.
Postpartum is actually when I first became serious about hair health. Did you know that more than 50% of women experience excessive shedding naturally within 3 to 4 months of giving birth?
I did, and I totally experienced that too. Nutrafol Postpartum has ingredients that can help bring your body back into balance. It's breastfeeding friendly and OBGYN developed using clinically tested natural ingredients that help support whole body recovery and fill nutrition gaps that help manage shedding and grow stronger, thicker hair.
And an added bonus, you may also notice improvements to your overall well-being, including more restful sleep, less stress, and better skin and nails. Who doesn't want all of that? I wish that I'd had Nutrafol when I was postpartum, but I'm thankful to try Nutrafol Woman.
Hear, hear.
Wherever you are in your motherhood journey, there's a Nutrafol for you. Join us, support the show, and grow stronger, healthier hair by going to Nutrafol.com and using the promo code DIJFY to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time.
Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol. .com, promo code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Megan, it's no secret that I'm a maximalist who loves luxe clothing and home goods.
Mm-hmm. It's also no secret that I'm a minimalist who also loves investing in a handful of small luxe things that will last and service for a long time, especially for my home.
And we both love a good deal, which is why we've both become obsessed with Quince, a one-stop shop for curated luxury goods shipped direct from the world's best specialty factories.
Quince partners with factories that produce well-known luxury brands and that demonstrate a commitment to high production standards, fair wages, safety, and sustainability. They also focus on essential products with low design costs. Think cashmere crews, super soft fleece pants, and the down comforters, and hotel quality sheets that I'm stocking up on for the new house.
Yay, new house! I'm so into those cashmere crews, though, because back to some clothing. And they are only $50. I've also stocked up on even more affordable and chic linen shorts, silk camis, and washable silk PJs for the summer. And all of it ships direct from factories straight to us. No middle person and no upcharge.
Altogether, that's how Quince is able to keep prices up to 50 to 80% lower than other brands. Real simple, in style, Fast Company, Refinery 29, and Fortune all agree with us. Quince is a game changer.
And if you give them a try and disagree, Quince will give you a full refund. So treat yourself today.
Get free shipping and 365-day free returns at onequince.com/DIJFY. That's onequince.com/, and this is all lowercase, DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You?
Can we talk about drinks? We'll return to food, but I do have a few thoughts on drinks.
Okay. Hit us with
your
drink
thoughts. Because we're going to be drinking this summer if you drink already.
Oh, I don't know. I keep telling Brian I think this is a low ABV summer for me.
Interesting.
The truth is, I think it's like stress induced, but I've had the worst indigestion for like 3 months.
Oh my gosh, that's a long time.
Yeah,
Megan.
So long. And not drinking, like not drinking wine, not drinking beer is like the number one thing. It cuts it out.
Oh yeah, then cut it out. I'm not a person who needs drinking.
No, so. To be like social. Me either. So there's that part of it. And then I keep saying, oh, I just like really want to be present with the kids and like not and have good sleep and stuff. And so that's also a benefit of not drinking. But I've gotten like a couple press packages from companies who make like low ABV or no like non-alcoholic spirits and canned cocktails and stuff. So I think that'll just also be kind of fun to.
Yeah. So I don't think this has to be alcoholic. Because these tips apply even for like cocktails.
And like you're saying, it's so hot, so you can't, and like doing a drink and not just offering water or tea or whatever makes it feel more celebratory.
Yeah, I definitely feel like make batch drinks or individual cans. I know it's a little bit more wasteful and it can be a little bit more expensive, frankly, the individual cans, but whether it's alcoholic or not, I think something that someone can just grab and then that's their can, they've touched it and no one else, or batch drinks so that people can just like, you know, ladle out
they get
or
their
whatever.
Glass,
they get their
they
glass,
pour.
They pour ladle. Because I think, and also this makes for less mess and easier cleanup, not having like all the bottles out there, like all the like mixers and having like a bunch of people touching everything everywhere.
Basically, Stacey doesn't want to sanitize her liquor, her bar.
Dude, I don't need everybody touching everything. Like, no, thank you. And I do think that these like hard seltzers, these canned wines, they are lower ABV, which is nice too.
Yeah.
They're like better for afternoons if you're an afternoon drinker, which I'm totally not capable anymore of afternoon drinking at all.
It's my favorite.
I know you've said that before. I can't do it.
It's fine. Like, I totally understand why, but I would much rather drink a cocktail in the afternoon and like eat and drink water and go to bed like without feeling like I have a little buzz going on. I just don't sleep well.
Yeah.
I think is what it comes down to.
Yeah. I just then as soon as I'm done, I'm like,
you're like done. I'm like, you need a siesta post afternoon happy hour siesta. Okay. So drinks, big batching, canned.
Yes.
I love that. And I agree with that. I want to get back to food because you were like, I don't think anything has changed with COVID as far as food that we eat. But I feel like in the last 18 months, the idea of being like vegetarian at home or being a weeknight vegetarian has really come to the forefront. Like Epicurious, that they're like, we're no longer publishing beef recipes. You know, Jenny Rosenstrach has her weeknight vegetarian. Kitchen just did a whole like eat more plants thing. So I'm curious, do you think that you will change what you serve? Like, do you think you'll do more plant-based meals because everyone's kind of eating that way and it's less expensive?
It's interesting.
Or have you always just chosen quality meat and you serve that to guests?
It's funny that that's a thing in food media. That's not a pattern I'm seeing
in real life.
In real life. I mean, I just went to a cookout in someone's backyard and it was literally like brisket, ribs, mac and cheese. Like,
where was my invite? Rude.
I'm not, you know, my kids, everyone knows I talk about Isaac wanting meat in every meal, like in every episode.
Yeah.
Like, that's not playing out so much in my world. I still am getting, you know, kids in my world are still wanting hamburgers and hot dogs. Like, you know.
Okay, but how great are hamburgers and hot dogs?
I mean, listen.
Like, what if it's just the summer of hamburgers and hot dogs? Like,
that's what
pre-made patties or even frozen patties, and then you're just dressing them up?
That's what I'm saying. I appreciate, you know, a move towards, I always have vegetables out, so I feel like, for me, it's really staying the course. So I'm curious, then, do you feel like it's shifting for you?
Well, we just decided internally that we're going to try to just eat meatless at home.
Yeah.
And then, like, eat out. I know, I think I've talked about this before in a previous episode. So there is part of me that's like, that would be nice to, like, introduce my extended family and friends to more varieties of meals that are not just, like, based around hamburgers and hot dogs. But, like,
I think it's certain guests. I think it's like you're saying, there are certain friends who I would do that with, and probably like Brian's parents, I would not be like hamburgers and hot dogs because that's what they would expect.
I feel like it's a summer of joy and reconnection and comfort still. Like, I still feel like we're a little bit in PTSD mode. And like, I don't know, like, I don't want to think about like dieting. I don't want to think about calories. I don't want to think about like,
yeah, I want to just your veggie minimum. I wonder if it's very much like comfort.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I think I'm headed. Like, that's what it is. It's like, it's still a smaller group of people, but it's like my people. It's the people who like I miss most when we couldn't get together. And it's the foods we want to eat.
People you don't feel like you need to impress. Like, they already know and love you. And so you could serve anything. It could be pizza delivery and it would be great.
Actually, and that's funny that you said that, because we did have another like small gathering, same family who did the cookout like 2 weeks prior. It's a friend of mine who's oldest child just graduated from college, so he's been like, the cookout was for his graduation, and then he had been home a couple of weeks prior and we wanted to see him because he doesn't live in New York City anymore, and it was just like, let's order a bunch of pizzas. And actually, one thing that she did, and you know, I guess this only really applies to people with smaller backyards or maybe city living, because you probably have a backyard space that is like perpetually set up. But we have like a smaller space that we clear out, and she just had folding tables like in the corner. And it's like, as soon as more people come over, like clear it out, put out the folding tables, throw on some like cheap tablecloths. And like, we just threw pizzas on there. And that was so nice, because I think we're just hungry to get together.
Lowered more than expectations.
The food, you know?
Yes. I think that's it. That's the whole episode. Doesn't matter what you serve.
It doesn't matter
what you serve. Entertaining. Let's do a rapid fire. Like, what are things, if the theme is ease, comfort, there's some intimacy there, right? Like, you're people that you feel really comfortable with, so there's no, it's no judgment. What are the things you're serving? Like, top five.
Oh, God. Okay, so like legit.
Or strategy. It could be strategies where it's like, I'm doing this so I don't have to cook. Yeah.
Okay. So the sous vide thing, but I know that doesn't apply to everybody. Like, I'm so down for that. Like, for different cuts of beef.
Make ahead.
Yeah. Just like make most of it ahead. Hamburgers and hot dogs. The chicken shawarma I'm going to do again. That worked really, really well on the grill. And it's just nice that you can like do everything at the last minute and just cut it up. And then there's lots of little like ancillary things. I had like a chopped Mediterranean salad. You can do like a rice and lentil pilaf, goes nicely with it. And then, you know, I don't know. You know, I love a good rotisserie chicken. Like, I think like pulling it apart and tossing it in a big pot with barbecue sauce. So it's really back to basics. Also, like, I recently made a classic coleslaw, like Southern style, just like mayo, vinegar, sugar. And I was like, oh, so good. Like a lot of like celery seed, and like, that's it. But like potato salads, coleslaw, I don't know. I guess I'm really like getting back to basics. You know, ribs are something that I tend to like, but feels like a little work intensive, even though I know it doesn't have to be. Maybe time intensive is more accurate. And I'm like, nope, like, I don't have time for that.
But that's a great candidate for sous vide.
It is.
And then putting on the grill.
It is.
Yeah. And way less fussy that way.
So I guess like ribs, maybe. I don't know. That's it. That's what I got. What about you, Megan?
Okay. I think we're like in the same line. I love the idea of doing like either burgers and hot dogs, or getting like sausages and doing grilled sausages with like all grilled peppers and onions and all of that
kraut.
Stuff.
Kraut.
I think
store-bought.
Kraut. On the side. Yeah. Mm. Or have you tried our friends Grillo's? They're like pickled salsa.
First of all.
Pickle salsa.
I can't it's so good on a
hot dog. You know, I don't even love a hot dog. And I would eat a hot dog to eat that.
Okay, we're
going to
be talking about them more soon, but I'm obsessed. It's called pickle de gallo.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And my whole family is crazy into it.
Yes.
So good.
All of their pickles are really good. So basically, I'm trying to come up with reasons to eat it. because we're back in the South, like ordering barbecue and doing like getting ribs or like a bunch of pork or brisket and then maybe making some sides will definitely be a strategy I'm using, especially with Brian's family coming up. I'd love to get into grilled pizza. I feel like that was is like a thing that like other people, and I think
I've had summers where I see it as a trend.
Yeah. Yes, because everyone's got like their unis. I'm not going to invest in an outdoor pizza grill, I say, but I could get a wild hair. But I want grilled pizza. And I think that's something you could do with like store-bought pizza dough and just like make, let everyone top their own pizza and then just cook them off. That seems like a little bit more effort, but I'm definitely into it. You know, you were saying with shawarma, you would do like rice and lentils or a big salad. I think a big salad, it can be a dinner party centerpiece. I always love to have a salad when I'm entertaining. People always seem like very complimentary about it. They're like, oh, this is so good. Like I always forget to make a salad. And it's one of those like really nice things to throw together, especially if you're just going to do like grilled chicken or something. Totally. And I love a chopped salad. You know, I have forever been in love with the one from Grace Elkis from Kitchen, which is like this chopped Italian salad. And that's vegetarian. And I think that'd be really nice for like a spontaneous weeknight where friends come over and you have drinks and eat like a big salad and do that on the porch.
I love it.
One last thought. The slow cooker. I don't think we talk enough about how great the slow cooker is or the Instant Pot in summer. And like you're saying, buying rotisserie chicken. I would just buy like a bunch of chicken breasts and throw them in there with a bottle of barbecue sauce. And that is such a great like kid-friendly barbecue chicken, bagged coleslaw, or like store-bought coleslaw on buns.
Okay, I don't want you to go too deep into that because announcing this right on the episode live, I really was thinking as we were brainstorming summer episodes, I felt like we were missing an episode about how to use your slow cooker and Instant Pot in the summer. So okay, I think we need to revisit our calendar. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
so like,
yes.
I think happening. That's a good one.
Okay.
I want to just say one other thing. And I know that this is, you know, for people who are able to fit this into their budget right now, and not everybody can. But if you are able, restaurants are definitely in some places seeing a major uptick. Very happy for that. But a lot of restaurants and food providers are still doing picnic boxes and mm-hmm. still like they've built up an interesting and different kind of robust takeout service. So also if you have the budget and you're short on time, like check out your favorite local restaurant and it's a great way to support them. Have them, you know, it's different than catering. It's a little more casual. These picnic boxes are like, they call it family style. Like there's a taco truck by me that just will sell you like multiple pint containers of their chicken. And then I don't have to do anything. I don't even have to pull it off the bone from the rotisserie bird. Like I just yes. get it and I dump it into a bowl. And it's a great way to support a locally owned business.
I love that so much. All right.
Summer entertaining. Let's do it.
We would really love to hear from you. And so we would really love for you to join us
in
our community, which you can find by visiting didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. We offer a free listeners group, but there's also a supporting membership that comes with hella perks, including 2 exclusive mini episodes every month, live events, lifetime access to our private Instagram feed, our Finsta apparently, and more. Plus, don't forget about this week's flash sale. Use the code DIJFYMONTHLY for 30% off your monthly subscription for the first year, or join as an annual member to save $50 and get that additional 30% off with the code DIJFYANNUAL.
And Megan mentioned our Finsta, but also we have a regular Instagram where we really present ourselves to the world. You can find us there as @DidntIJustFeedYou. You can also subscribe to our newsletter from there, or you can just go to our site. Our new site. I love our new site. And it is...
It's beautiful. If you haven't been yet, please go.
Please go. And it really is the hub for everything. So if you're like, wait, what? Community? Insta? What? Like, if you just go to didntijustfeedyou.com, you will be able to find everything.
Yes. Links to things we've talked about. You're going to want to go there. Don't forget to subscribe to Didn't I Just Feed You wherever you get your podcast so that you don't miss an episode. Our music is Good Old Times by Alex Cohen, provided by Jem Mendo. A huge thank you to our editor, Samantha Getzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacey. Stay sane and well fed until next week.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.